This was at the breakfast table at her parents' house one weekend. The kitchen in that house was upstairs, its windows overlooking the garden below. It was a tall, thin old house, comfortably untidy, worn to fit the shape of the family. The summer morning was rainy, so all the lights were on, the atmosphere close and dreamy, perfumed with toast and coffee. "Whatever for?" Lottie's mother, Hattie, said, and carried on reading her book. She was an English teacher, but she read crime novels at weekends. This one was about a detective in Venice. Lottie was 19, but she looked more like 13 or 14. She was just over 5 feet tall, with a tight little figure and a barrel chest. She insisted on wearing the same glasses with thick black frames that she had chosen years earlier, and her hair, the colour of washed-out straw, was pulled into pigtails. Everyone happened to be at home that weekend, even Lottie's older brother Rufus and her sister Em, who had both moved away. "Have you got a boyfriend at last?" Em asked. Lottie was always pale, with milky, translucent skin behind a ghostly arc of freckles across her snub nose. But she seemed to be even whiter than usual that morning, blue veins standing out at her temples. She clenched her hands on either side of the placemat in front of her. They were improbable hands for a violinist, pink and plump, with short, blunt fingers and bitten cuticles.
"You're not taking me seriously!" she cried.
A squall of rain urged against the steamed-up window panes. The kettle boiled. Toast sprang from the toaster for no one in particular. Vaguely, they all looked at her, thinking their own thoughts. Lottie emanated intensity. Her personality was like a demon trapped inside a space too small. Even as a baby, she had been preternaturally perceptive and judgmental. Her talent for the violin, when it was discovered, had seemed an explanation for her surplus strength, or a solution to it. She had begun on an instrument so tiny that it looked like a Christmas tree decoration. Now she was living with her parents while she studied for her music degree at the university.
"Why ever would you want to get married?" Hattie said reasonably.
"Dad and I have never felt the need."
"I'm not like you," Lottie said.
This was one of her battle cries.
"Of course you're not like anybody, sweetheart. You're just yourself. For a start, I happen to have religious beliefs. I believe that marriage is a holy sacrament."
"No, you don't," Rufus said. "You've never said anything about them before."
"So when exactly are you getting married?" Em asked sceptically.
"And who to?"
"How could I possibly know yet when? That's exactly what I want to talk to you about. I want to sort out a date. I want you all to be there. I want it to be a proper wedding, with a dress and everything. And bridesmaids, probably."
"So you have got a boyfriend," Em said.
Em was gracefully loose-jointed, with her mother's hooded poetic eyes. She worked in the toxicology department of the city hospital.
"My husband, he's going to be."
Hattie put down her book and her coffee mug in concern.
"Poppet, you're so young. There's no hurry about the marrying part. Of course, you can have a proper wedding one day, if that's what you want. But there's no need to rush into anything."
Sullen white dents appeared in Lottie's cheeks where her jaw was set.
"You forget that I have a whole life of my own now as an adult outside of this house, about which you know nothing, absolutely nothing. You don't warn Emily not to rush into anything."
"To be fair," Em said, "I'm not the one who just said I was getting married."
"Have we met him?" Hattie asked. "Is he on your course?"
"Is it the one with the stammer in your string quartet?" asked Noah, Lottie's younger brother, who was still at school.
"Tristan." "How could you think I'd want to marry Tristan?"
"Personally, I'd warn against anyone in a string quartet," Rufus said.
"Shut up, Rufus. It isn't a